Take your Bibles tonight, Galatians chapter number 5 once again. Galatians chapter number 5 as we continue to go through the fruits of the Spirit tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about walking with goodness. Walking with goodness. The thing that we've been trying to drive home all throughout this entire series, especially the fruits of the Spirit as we go through the book of Galatians, is we need God's help to be able to produce the fruits of the Spirit. We've looked at love, we looked at joy, we looked at peace, we looked at long-suffering. Last week we looked at gentleness, and we're just cruising right through them, but we can never forget. These are things that we should desire, but also remember that we cannot make these things happen on our own. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to look at that a little bit more inside the message tonight, so we won't spend time with the introduction that we normally give, but instead we'll jump right in there with the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit of goodness can be defined as uprightness of heart and life, virtue equipped and ready at every point. And the Galatians 6:10 is, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ephesians 5:8-10 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So here's the idea, is that before we were in darkness, now we are children of the light. We should walk as children of light. And the next phrase in that verse says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, you say goodness. People use that word good a lot, don't they? You think about the different forms, and I want to try to establish which form of goodness we're talking about here, and also to help us, we have the screen tonight, because there's a lot of scriptures for each point, and I didn't want you to make a turn, I didn't want you to miss anything, and you just follow along, and you follow along in your Bible if you like to, but think about the different ways that people use the word goodness. I've heard people say, he's a good man, she's a good woman, they're good kids. You know, and you know what? Sometimes that is right. The Bible actually talks about how Barnabas in the Bible was a good man. He was full of faith, the Holy Spirit. But to have the goodness of God, you must have the Holy Spirit and be full of the Holy Spirit of good to do the goodness of God. You know, I've heard people describe this, he's a good man, but he just messed up. And they use the word but at the same time, referring to some type of sin that was in their life. And don't get me wrong, I know we're all sinners, but that's not the type of goodness that it's talking about when it says the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. And when they say, hey, my football team's doing good, they just scored a touchdown, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, goodness they're talking about. Or this tastes good. Or maybe you think, some people equate it with not doing certain things. I didn't eat any chocolate today, or I didn't drink any Mountain Dew today, or I didn't do something that was wrong today. I was good. That's not the goodness that they're talking about here. Sometimes people equate goodness and revolves around some type of pleasure. They're thinking that if it feels good, then that is good. But we all know that sometimes what is best for us and sometimes what is needed is a non-pleasurable season so we can look to God. Something knowledge brings goodness. There's even those that say, if we can increase knowledge of good, there will be no evil. But me and you both know that just knowing about good is never a guarantee that we will do it. If we look back and we're honest with ourselves and we see our own nature and our flesh, we know there's times when we should not say certain things, or we should not act a certain way, or maybe we should tell somebody about Jesus Christ, or maybe we just kind of just go the other way. We know that in our nature that not everything is good. Sometimes people equate good with certain things. And sometimes they say it involves materialism. Think about it. They call it the good life. Now, what they call the good life, I don't see what's good about it many times. So those are different ways that people use the word good. That is not exactly what they're talking about in the goodness that they're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. Psalms chapter 105 says, for the Lord is good. Isn't that great? We know who is good. God is good. It says, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all nations. You say, of course God is good. Of course the Lord is good. But what is what we're talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you and with a divine nature that can produce the fruit of his Spirit, that can produce God's Spirit in your life, to where the mankind can see the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering. And we've been mentioning this. It's not about how much we can determine to have joy. It's not about how peaceful we can try to make our surroundings. It's about our relationship with God. And as we get close to God and we allow God to supernaturally produce these fruits in our lives, that's what it means by the fruits of the Spirit. One thing I want you to look at and understand is Jesus displayed the goodness of God. Jesus displayed the goodness of God. And look what it says in Acts 10:38. I love the way they put it, because he says he was good because of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and he was good because God was with him. It says Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And this is the same point. It's the Holy Spirit of God, if you're a Christian tonight, lives inside of you. And he wants to produce these fruits. They're actually inside of you. You might say, there's no way I can demonstrate love. There's no way I can be patient or long-suffering. There's no way I can show gentleness. If you're a Christian, it's in there. It's just many times we push that down and we grieve the Holy Spirit of God and we push it down and we just do not allow God to do the work he wants to in our lives. Now, goodness, just like all the rest of them, is supernatural. It's not something we produce on our own. It must be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But how does he develop that in our lives? And we're going to look at that in just a second. But last week, since we looked at gentleness, I think it's important that we understand the difference between goodness and gentleness. This week's fruit of the Spirit is goodness. The Greek word that is used is agathosin. Now, if I said that wrong, I'm sorry. I'm going to mispronounce another one in a second. It refers to that which is a characteristically or constitutionally good in itself and beneficial in its effect. Now, this is the goodness of God. It's referring to is that we allow God's goodness to develop and come through in our lives. Because a human in our own nature, the Bible says there is none good. But it's the goodness of God. It becomes a characteristic. It's constitutional good in itself. And beneficial in its effect, what God can do. Now, the word agathosun is a synonym to the previous word charistotes. Now, this is the word we learned last week. It's gentleness. And as gentleness and goodness are in the same virtues, they're in a sense, you can say they're kinfolk, so to speak. Some people say, if you're from a certain area, that we must be relatives because everybody's related to everybody. You know, that they're common, they're close. The word goodness, however, is said to be made of sterner stuff. Doing what is good might sometimes call for a tougher stand than would be implied by the word gentleness and by the kindness we talked about last week. Sometimes we are having to take a stand and have to be tougher about things. You see that in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's inherent and essential goodness, for instance, moved him to vigorous actions against cleansing the temple. The same essential goodness of the Lord Jesus calls him to take off the gloves, so to speak, and denounce the scribes and the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, their error, and rejections. And the Greek scholars tend to define charistotes, or the word gentleness, as the kinder and gentler element in the Lord's perfect character, and agathosun as the sterner element. To both be kind and good is the idea. It's the idea of mercy and truth at the same time. And this combination causes a loving parent who will show mercy to their child but say, no, you can't do that, but later on have to back it up with discipline. That is both showing gentleness and goodness in the same situation. It reminds me of what it says in Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some may even dare to die. And that word good there is referring to this word of goodness. The Bible speaks of a few people as being good men or good people. And the Romans, as Paul's getting ready to close the book, he names some different guys like Gaius and some of the other guys, calling them good in their character. And even Barnabas, we're going to look at in a little while, he was a person that was known for being good. Those are the type of people that they're saying people would be willing to die for. Paul says that it'd be difficult to find anyone who would die for the righteousness of somebody else. Because in our righteousness, is as filthy rags. But peradventure, for a good man, some may even dare to die. Men like Barnabas and Gaius. So how do we get the goodness of God? How do we get the goodness of God to come out in our lives? And first thing is the first thing that we've talked about every single service when we come to the fruit of the Spirit. We need to realize our inability. Realize our inability to produce God's goodness. To produce God's goodness. And here's the point. Our original state is no good. Our original state is no good. And it's amazing to me that there's some humanistic people out there, even philosophers, even professors, even people that are way up in government, that says that inherently man is good. They say things like, man is good at heart. And if we would just learn more about goodness, the world would just become good. There's two reasons why I know and do not believe this. Is number one is because the Bible says it. Secondly, I'm a parent, and I know not everyone's good. That was a joke. Come on. If we ever been around somebody else, we know that all mankind is not good. You think about the act where the guy was beheaded. Where is the good in that? You see people I wonder what type of world they live in. If everything was good and we were becoming more good, where is the world peace? Where are all the problems of the world? One humanistic person said that, he says, the world peace and all the world's problems could be solved without Jesus Christ in the Bible. He says, if we just get rid of Jesus Christ and get rid of the Bible, then all the world's problems would be solved because people would not be basing their faith on something that's not true. And it's like the idea, what type of world does this man live in? You know, what about the high divorce rates? What about the overflowing prisons? What about the deadly worlds? All you have to do is read history. Even our children at the earliest development stages, we know there is not anything that is continual goodness. The only way we can have continual goodness is first to realize our inability. Have you ever wondered how a worm gets inside of an apple? Most of you are smart enough to know this, but some of you might not have figured this out. Some people think that the worm eats its way from the outside in. But that's wrong. Scientists have actually discovered just the opposite. The worm eats its way from the inside out. And you say, how does that happen? Well, an insect lays an egg in the apple blossom. And as the insect lays this egg, sometime later the egg hatches in the heart of the apple. After the egg hatches, the small worm begins to eat its way out of an apple. And sin is like this. Sin, like the worm, begins in the heart of a person. We've told you this over and over. It's what's inside of us that comes out that's wicked. It's our flesh. It's our old nature. Sin, like the worm, begins in the heart of a person. The apple did not choose the worm living inside of it, nor did we choose the Adamic sin nature inside of us. Just like the worm eating itself out of the apple, even so, our sin nature many times works itself out through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Our original sin nature is just that, a sin nature. And the root of our lives are planted in this Adamic nature. And we have no ability to produce good fruit on our own. We cannot do it. Remember what it says in Romans 5:12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, and all men have sinned. Now think about that. For that all have sinned. That's why we cannot produce it on our own. This is the reason why we need to realize our inability. Romans 3:12 even goes a little farther. Says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none. Now get this. The Bible says this. You might say, well, I know somebody who's good, who does good. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We understand. If we're talking about the goodness of God, you cannot produce this without the Holy Spirit's help. And we need this continual producing of goodness. Not only do we need to realize our ability and see that our nature is not good, but we cannot produce true goodness. We cannot produce true goodness. What are you getting at? Well, I know who I'm talking to. For the most part, probably most of you are Christians tonight. Most of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Says, hey, Lord, hey, say, Pastor, I've received Christ. I got a new nature. So now I can produce goodness. I can do good things. I know a lot of Christians that don't produce goodness. And here's the thing, is we need to realize our inability to produce God's goodness. Number one, it's because our nature, the beginning nature, is just wrong. Secondly, we cannot produce true goodness unless we are depending upon the Holy Spirit. Think about what it says in Romans 7:18. I like this verse because it's so true. I don't like it because it describes me. Think of what it says. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to me, to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul himself was saying, look, he might have been known as the greatest Christian to ever live, but he's saying, inside of me, inside my flesh, this battle and this struggle that I have, he says, I know that inside this flesh there is no good. He says, yes, I have something that's will, that's something that's present with me, something that wants to do good, but the things he would want to do, he just won't do them. Isaiah 64:6 puts it this way, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know what? The Bible says that we are sinners, and our righteousness in God's sight is as filthy rags. You listen to guys on TV, you listen to these positive or these self-help preachers. I don't even know if we want to call them preachers or not. They say, hey, I don't want to have to talk about sin. They even read one guy said, who pastors a huge church, that says, I would never tell somebody that they have a sin nature. You know, what are they preaching then? Because the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. You can't get saved without knowing that you're a sinner and being convicted of your sin and crying out to God. And what are they preaching? What are they trying to do? Many times you're trying to build kingdoms. That's why we got to be guilty, you know, worthy, you know, be careful of those that are filthy, greedy of filthy lucre. And that's why be careful who we listen to and watch, and who we watch on TV and who we listen to. And you might say, well, I kind of like, you know, don't get me wrong, they're much more polished than I am. They're more eloquent. They tell funnier jokes, obviously, because people watch them on TV. Nobody even laughs at my jokes here. Hey, almost. I got about six there. You know, Benjamin Franklin put it this way. Benjamin Franklin wrote in his autobiography, I conceived, he's saying at one point in his life, I conceived the bold project of arriving at moral perfection. And there are people that believe that you can actually come to the point where you're sinless. But listen to what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, I conceived the bold project of arriving at moral perfection. I wish to live without committing any fault at any time. I would conquer all that either natural or inclinations, custom or company might lead me into, as I knew or thought I knew what was right or avoid the other. But I soon found I had undertaken a task of more difficulty than I have ever imagined. While my care was employed in guarding against one fault, I was often surprised by another. Habit took advantage of inattention. Inclination was sometimes too strong for reason. I concluded at length that the mere speculative conviction that is in our interest to completely virtuous was not sufficient to prevent our slipping. What he was saying is, just because I want to do right and just because I never want to sin again doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And we need to learn this. We are weak in ourselves. We need to realize our inability, and this is what should take us and push us to God and push us to the Holy Spirit, push us to our Bibles, push us to our prayer closets and say, I cannot produce this fruit without God's help, and I need to realize that. I need to stop thinking that in my own strength, in my own power, in my own ability, I can do good, when the Bible tells me I can do nothing without being abiding in Him. Not only do we need to realize our own inability, but we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit for goodness. Hopefully we've gotten this and we've drilled this in your head each week and next week and next few weeks. We'll mention that again. We need the Holy Spirit of God's help. You might say, Pastor, you beat us over the head about this all the time. I realize my inability, but what do I do next? And these are some simple things, but many times it's hard for certain people to do. First thing we need to do is we need to be born again. We need to be born in the Spirit. We need to have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. If you're here tonight, you've never become a Christian, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, the good news, the gospel is that you can get saved tonight and you can walk out of this place with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And not only the good future of heaven, but you have the ability with the Holy Spirit of God's help to produce goodness in a wicked world. I think heaven is great. I'm looking forward to it. If I get to go soon, praise the Lord. But you know what? I got ability, the chance to do something in this world. I can produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. I can produce these things in this world to help other people. And I should relish that. We should look forward to Jesus Christ coming. It tells us to look for him coming, but we should be living a life that's producing these fruits. John 3:5-7, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So here's the point is, if you want to realize that you're unable to produce this goodness of God, realize that you need the Holy Spirit's help. And the Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. See, goodness can only come from the Holy Spirit of God, and it is a spiritual process, and it begins at this moment in time when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Barnabas, it talks about in Acts 11:24, when he was the one that was willing to go, and he went up to Antioch, and they sent him out there, and he was excited about all the things Saul. He went over, he found Saul at that time, brought Saul back to the ministry. And this is what was said about Barnabas. And most of you know Barnabas is one of my favorite Bible characters. Wanted to name my oldest son Barnabas, and my wife said no, they're going to call him Barney. And then I wanted to name my youngest son. I wanted to put the middle name as Green, so it could be Andrew Green Peas. She said no to that too. Can you believe that? Well, Barnabas here, it says he was, now listen, Acts 11:24, for he was a good man. I mean, we like that. No, I mean, we like it when someone says, "You got a good kid there." Sometimes people come up to me and says, "You've got a good kid." I says, "Well, do you want them for a couple of days? They might change your mind." I think I have good sons when it comes to the world's standards and when the world's people look at it. I think we have some good young people in our church. I think we have some good men, some good women in our church. I agree. But is it the goodness of God that is a continual presence in their life? That's what we need to be looking for. That's what we're talking about, relying on the Holy Spirit. And when it says, for he was a good man, that is referring to this. He was continually showing the goodness of God. Don't let the world or somebody else build your head up so big and they flatter you with their words and say, "Hey, look, you're a good person. You're a good man. You're a good woman." And you yourself know, man, I need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot produce the goodness of God. Yes, I might act a little bit better than somebody else, and I might say some things. I might be a little kinder than somebody else, but the fruit of the Spirit relies and depends on the Holy Spirit of God, and it begins with this. It says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the church. We need to rely on the Holy Ghost. When you're saved, you receive a divine nature. We don't get rid of our old nature. Wouldn't that have been great if we didn't have the flesh to deal with anymore? He would have given us a divine nature, and that spiritual side never had to deal with sin. Hey, we're saved and we can live a holy life and just never do ever anything wrong. But see, then it wouldn't have been anything for us. We're going to get that when we get to heaven. We're going to lose that old nature. What we can do now is produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But there's discipline, there's work that we need to do, but it's getting closer to God. 2 Peter 1-3, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now listen, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises. We like that, don't we? We love the promises of the Bible. But keep on going, that By these different things, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, we've been given a new nature. We must rely on the Holy Spirit of God. If we want to produce God's goodness, we must first be born in the Spirit, and we must understand we have a divine nature now that lives in us, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And you say, what's the important part of this? Is that we have a new nature. We do not have to sin. The Bible says that we are free from sin. It's when we allow sin in our lives. It's when we give in. It's when we come to the temptation, and we give in, and we live for the devil, and we do things that are wrong. But God has given us a spirit and a divine nature where we do not have to sin. Read Romans chapter 6. Memorize it. Anytime you face some type of sin in your life, start quoting Romans chapter number 6. You know, it would help you to understand that you probably won't even make it all the way through the chapter without saying, you know what, I don't need this sin. God's given me a divine nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, put it this way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things or become new. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Sin is a hard thing to fight against. Sin is heavy. Sometimes I feel like I don't have a choice. That's when the Bible says we need to go to Romans chapter 6 and reckon ourselves dead. Say, you know what? I've been born in the Spirit. I got a new nature. I'm going to reckon myself dead. I do not have to sin. We have new nature and we can produce the fruits of the Spirit. Not only do we need to rely on Him to be born in the Spirit and a new nature, but this is the key. This is where most Christians slip up, is we must walk in the Spirit. You say, okay, Pastor, if I'm born again, I got this divine nature, then what is my problem? It's right here. We need to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. And that's similar to walking in the Spirit. It means a close, intimate relationship. You are one with God in the sense that you are always speaking to Him, talking with Him, living consciously in His presence. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And we know that means soul winning, but it means the fruit of the Spirit first, I believe. I'm all in for soul winning. I'm all in for the people, bringing people to Christ. But we're going to do that when we have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And it says, and that end of the verse, for without me, ye can do nothing. None of us like that last phrase. It's easy to preach on, but it's hard to swallow, because we need to understand we have to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to do anything in our Christian lives. We like to think, well, I can do this and I can do that. Well, I could teach my class this week. There's times where I can preach this week that way. But no, if we want to produce spiritual fruit, it all begins with that strong devotion life we're talking about. Walking in the Spirit. And we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, third point then. As we need to reveal the goodness of God to a lost world. Reveal the goodness of God to a lost world. Being good is what we are inside when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Doing good is what people see on the outside. And once again, it's a continual goodness of God. It's so much different than, hey, this tastes good. It's so much different. The Steelers won. It's good. You know, it's so much different than, that's a good man. And what you say at somebody's funeral, when many times it's a lie. It's so much different when this goodness is referring to. It's good living is the fruit of the Spirit of God. How do we do this? First of all, goodness is found in the Word of God. We don't know how to have goodness on our own. Our heart is deceitful. It's wicked. It's desperately wicked. And the Bible tells us that we, in Micah 6:8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, he's saying, God has showed you what is good. It's found in His Word. If we would just obey the things we know and do the things we know, boy, we would be so much farther along than many of us are. We just like to do a majority of them, and then the rest we struggle with. And we just make up excuses. I'm the same way. But in all reality, God has showed us what is good. It has showed us His goodness. We cannot be a good husband. We cannot be a good wife. We cannot be a good child, a good church member, apart from the Word of God. Because we need His goodness to be revealed to mankind. And we're going to find that in His Word. We need to become students of the Word of God. Not only to reveal His goodness is found in the Word of God, but it's cultivated through godly fellowship. Cultivated through godly fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This is what we're supposed to provoke people to do. We're not supposed to come to church and say, let's see who I can get mad. Oh, let me see whose parking spot or sit in their seat or go pick on them a little bit. Try to get them riled up, because that's fun to do. And I'm not talking about joking around and teasing, but I'm talking about having the heart to try to mess with somebody and mess up their whole church service. I mean, what did you come to church for? We should come to worship God and learn about God. And that's why he says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, provoking unto love and good works would be encouraging somebody, saying, hey, look, I enjoyed that song you sang. It spoke to my heart. Now, if it did, tell them that. If it didn't, don't lie about it. Encourage, hey, I saw you brought a visitor the other day. Praise the Lord. I've been trying to invite people too. Encourage people by coming alongside and being a fellow helper of the truth and lifting them up. We can cultivate this goodness, and it should be happening at the house of God. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And you know, that's the way church should be. We should be trying to do good to people around here. And I'm not talking about having to go out and do anything outside what God would encourage you to do. But have an open heart. Let God speak to your heart about being kind to someone else, talking to someone else, shaking someone else's hand. You see somebody who doesn't spend much time talking to anybody else, befriending somebody. No, not everybody's easy to talk to. But you know what? We're supposed to be provoking each other, not to wrath, not to anger, not to frustration, not to temptation. And so once again, we don't need to be tempting people with things around here. We need to be doing what's right and doing good and to good works. That's what we need to provoke them to. And then, of course, that famous verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching. Now, and we know that says that we should be in church. We should be faithful to church. That's what the Bible is saying there. Last but not least, we need to reveal the goodness of God, not only through His Word, not only through cultivating it through godly friendship, fellowship, but the goodness of God is revealed through a walk with Christ. This is where it all begins and where it all ends. It's our walk with God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right in the next verse, for we are His workmanship. Now listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now this is not the works and the good works that we can come up in our own mind and our own thoughts. This is the Holy Spirit of God leading and prompting us to live a life according to as He leads you. Now, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This should be a continual walk. Walking gets the idea that you keep on going and going and going. We're walking in these good works. It's not, hey, I did this one thing. We should not brag about it because it's all for the glory of God. Hey, I helped this one person. I did this cleaning. Someone should give me a plaque or something. I remember me and Mr. Klein went to visit. You go soul winning or visiting with Mr. Klein, you never know whose house you're going to because he talks to everybody. We went and knocked on somebody's house one day, and he took me there. He says, I've been visiting this guy, and I don't think he's a Christian. He thinks he is one, but I don't think he is. We got to there, and he said he wasn't going to church anywhere. And of course, you know, as a pastor, I think you're supposed to go to church. And I tried to get him to come out. He said, well, let me ask you. He says, I'll tell you why I left the last church. And he began to describe how he had done and how he had gave and he had done some special things at this church. And because the pastor did not recognize him in front of the church for the things he had done and did not give him some type of plaque or certificate for all the work he did, he said, I left that church. The pastor never told me never said anything about what I did. And he says, I just went ahead and left. Now, what would you do? I says, you probably wouldn't like it at our church either. And he said, why? I says, well, first of all, I says, I don't know who gives and who doesn't give. I says, so I wouldn't know if you gave something or not unless you told me. And if you told me, I'd probably ignore it. Not that I don't appreciate it, but that's between you and God. And if you gave something, I would be thank you for your generosity and thank you for what you've done. But that's God speaking to you, and that's how I want our giving to be done. It's through God speaking to your heart. Be open to that. I says, and there's a lot of people that do a lot of work around our church. And sometimes you'll see that I notice and I'll make mention of something that is out of the ordinary, extraordinary. But oftentimes I'll show my appreciation by saying thank you to them personally. I mean, many times the people that clean and they do things, I say thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for all your hard work. But I don't go up and usually recognize people. And the reason why is because they're doing their service for God. I don't want to take away their blessing. I don't want to take away their reward. If they're rewarded and then open in front of people, then that's something that is many times, I don't want them to lose that reward. I want them to be able to do it with a heart of a servant for God. Now, individually, I will go and praise them because I do appreciate what they do. It's not because I don't care. It's not because I want all the glory, because I want all the attention. That's not it at all. It's because of the fact that I want to, in the service that I do, and the service other people do, the other things that are done around the church, I don't want people bragging about it. Because the goodness of God is revealed through the walk with Christ. It's not by us saying, hey, look what I do. That's not the goodness of God being revealed. That's you revealing yourself. But as you walk with Christ. Now, how do we see these things done? The good work of the witnessing. We see that done by witnessing and bringing people to Christ. We know that that's the goodness of God. The good work of serving at home. Having a right husband and a right wife, right children. That takes a lot of work. That's the goodness of God being revealed to a lost world. By witnessing, by being the right at the house, and also by being right at church. I like that story when it says, Peter arose and went with them when he was come. They brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And this revealed the goodness of God. They were there weeping because what Dorcas had done and showing him all the things that Dorcas had done. Dorcas wouldn't have done somebody else announcing her name in front of church. She did it to be a blessing because that's the goodness of God. Now, as we close, what is the goodness of God? It's God's goodness being lived through us. We can have that. I mean, isn't that awesome that the joy, we can have joy? When all the rest of the world has turmoil, the Bible says we can actually have peace. When no one in this world can be patient anymore. You hear people blaring the horns, yelling. I'm scared to drive sometimes because you never know what people are going to say or do. And then you're like, when they have all that turmoil and when they have to have a temper, the Bible says we can be long-suffering. It says we can be kind or gentle to other people. The Bible says that we can actually have the love of God, that amazing love, demonstrated through our lives. Say, I can't do that, Pastor. That's the whole point. Realize your inability. Realize you can't do it. Rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Then reveal the goodness of God or the goodness or any of these fruits of the Spirit to the lost and dying world. They need to see God. They don't need to see you. They need to see God or Christ living through you. They see enough people. They see enough fakes. They see enough good people in time. But you know what? What they need to see is God in your life. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet.